Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism to uncover its hidden beauty. Come join us as we take a closer look and breathe new life into traditional Jewish ideas. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel.
Hello, and welcome to episode 57. There's a custom that many have to give their children a blessing on Friday night before the Shabbos meal. What this generally looks like is you put your hands on the head of your child, and then to our daughters we say, may God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. To our sons we say, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And we then say the three verses of the priestly blessings as follows, Birkas Kohanim, may God bless you and safeguard you. May God illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you. May God turn his countenance toward you and establish peace for you. So for the next few minutes, I want to provide some background and depth to our understanding of this custom. Where do these blessings come from? Why do we use our hands while saying the blessings? Why do we use our holy matriarchs when blessing the girls, but Ephraim and Manasseh, who were Joseph's sons, when blessing the boys, etc.? So let's start. If you look in Genesis chapter 48, the Torah discusses the end of Jacob's life, and Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, go to visit Jacob on his deathbed. And the Torah states in verse 20, and Jacob blessed them, referring to Ephraim and Manasseh, on that day saying, in your name shall Israel bless, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Rashi, the great biblical commentary, explains that when the verse says, in your name shall Israel bless, it means that when a Jew goes ahead and blesses his son, he'll bless them with their blessing, and he'll say to his son, you shall be like Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's no obligation to give these blessings, and from the verse, there's no designated time to give these blessings, but the verse is teaching us that when you choose to go ahead and bless your sons, this is the phraseology you should use. So again, that's sourced in Genesis chapter 48, verse 20. So where does the idea to give this blessing on Friday night come from? The earliest documentation of this custom to give the blessing on Friday night is in the 1600s. It's in a book written by the brother of the Maharal, and the name of the book is Sefer HaChaim. And as always, it's quoted in the source sheets you could find in the episode details below. And he quotes this as an existing custom, so it would seem like it was already commonplace prior to his writing this in the mid-1600s. Interestingly, he writes that the custom was also for the rabbi to bless the congregation, as well as his students on Friday night as well. And he explains the basic idea of giving this blessing on Friday night is that since Shabbos is the source of all blessings in the world, like we say in the Lecha Dodi on Friday night, Likras Shabbos lechu v'nelcha kihi mekor habracha, let's go out and greet Shabbos, as Shabbos is the source of all blessing, so it's an auspicious time to give a blessing. Now, somewhat parenthetically, what's this idea of Shabbos being the source of all blessing? The reason for this is because Shabbos is the filter that allows spirituality to enter our world. This is why we always celebrate Shabbos before a Jewish event. The Shabbos before a bris, we have a Shalom Zachar. The Shabbos before a wedding, we have an Ufraf, etc. On a deeper level, the reason for this is because the holiness that's going to connect to that boy's body when he's circumcised, the holiness that exists when a Jewish couple comes together, that holiness enters our world on the Shabbos beforehand. So again, since Shabbos is the source of all blessing, we tap into that source and bless our children as Shabbos begins on Friday night. Now, it's interesting. We mentioned that the blessing we give our daughters is that they should be like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And while we sourced the boys' blessing in a verse in Genesis, this blessing for the girls doesn't appear explicitly anywhere in the Torah. There's a verse in the Megillah of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 11, in which the townspeople bless Boaz after he marries Ruth, that she should be like Rachel and Leah that built the Jewish nation. But we don't find an explicit blessing anywhere in the Torah that mentions all four of the matriarchs together. Presumably, the matriarchs were chosen as they are the quintessential Jewish women. They raised the initial Jewish family, and they excelled in their tremendous devotion to God, as well as their personal character development and kindness towards others. So they really just seem like the very logical choice to choose. This choice actually makes so much sense that the commentaries are bothered why we don't bless the boys to be like our forefathers? Why not wish our male children to be like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who also, like our matriarchs, like their spouses, perfected themselves physically and spiritually and are the foundation of our people? So granted, the verse says you should bless your children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh, but the question is why? Why does the Torah tell us that we should bless Ephraim and Manasseh and not our patriarchs? So the Sfas Emes suggests that if you look a few verses earlier in that story, in verse 5, Jacob tells Joseph that these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, that were born before Jacob and his family descended to Egypt, will be like Reuven and Shimon. That's Jacob's two oldest sons. And the Talmud explains that Jacob was elevating Ephraim and Manasseh to tribal status. They each became their own tribe, just like Reuven and Shimon were their own tribes. And indeed, we find in the desert that Ephraim and Manasseh each had their own encampment, they each had their own tribal leader, and they each received their own portion in the land of Israel when it was eventually divided later on. So the reason we bless our sons to be like Ephraim and Manasseh rather than our forefathers is because Ephraim and Manasseh were raised in a foreign land with no Jewish support system. They lived in a country steeped in idolatry and promiscuity, and not only were they able to grow and become great people, but they were able to elevate themselves to the level of the tribes. They became as great as the previous generation that was raised in Jacob's house. So the blessing we give our children is that no matter where you find yourself and what your surroundings are like, you should have the ability to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. You should have the strength to live your greatest life and elevate yourself to be like as great as the previous generations and not get brought down by external negative influences that may surround you. And if you think about it, this is something that was true by our matriarchs as well. Whereas Isaac grew up in Abraham's tent and Jacob in Isaac's, all of our matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, grew up in idolatrous homes with siblings or parents who were swindlers, caring more about making money and popularity than morals. And yet each one of them elevated themselves above their surroundings as well until they made themselves fitting to be one of the matriarchs of the Jewish nation. So in this sense, the greatest parallel for our sons and daughters is to compare the boys to Ephraim and Manasseh and the girls to Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Now, after we say this first part of the blessing, we mention that we then say the three verses of the priestly blessings. These verses can be found in the Torah in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Seemingly, the reason why we add these verses in specifically is because this is the blessing in the Torah that God said to use to bless the Jewish nation with. Why is that? On a basic level, Maimonides explains in his Guide to the Perplexed that these verses remind us that all blessings really come from God, and He is the source of all life and blessing in the world. Additionally, there's many Kabbalistic sources that explain the depth behind these blessings, and perhaps one day we'll do an episode on the priestly blessings alone to take a deeper look at that. Now, in Jewish law, there's actually one problem with using the priestly blessings to bless our children. If you look at the verse right before the priestly blessings, that's verse 23, God commands the Kohanim, the priests of the Jewish nation, to give this blessing to the Jews. And the Talmud understands from here that any non-Kohen that gives these blessings transgresses a positive commandment in the Torah, as the Kohanim were commanded and not anyone else. So how can we use these verses to bless our children? This is a large discussion in Jewish law, and we're not going to go through the entire concept of it, but I'll mention two ideas that come out of this question. Firstly, some commentaries explain that the prohibition is only when you say these blessings in the same way that the Kohanim, the priest, said them. And since when the Kohanim say it, they use both of their hands, when one blesses their children, this opinion suggests you should only place one hand on your child to distinguish it from the priestly blessings, thereby permitting you to say them. This is definitely not the common custom. The standard way of blessing our children is by placing both hands on top of your child's head. And the reason why this is permitted is because many others explain that the prohibition for a non-Kohen to bless is only during davening or when giving it as a priestly blessing. But when one who on their own chooses to use this phrase to give a blessing, that is totally fine in Jewish law. And again, it would be an appropriate blessing to give since this is the blessing that God himself designated to give to the Jewish people. Now, one last point to explain with this will end, and that is why do we use our hands at all? Why can't we just look at our children and give them a blessing? So we do find in the Torah, when it was describing Jacob giving the blessings to Ephraim and Manasseh, the Torah says that Jacob placed his hands on their heads. Additionally, we find another source in the Torah, when Moses appoints Joshua to take over the helm of the Jewish people, he also did that through putting his hands on the head of Joshua. And the basic concept is that hands are really connectors. All of our primary organs in our body are basically located in a direct straight line down the center of our body. And then our extremities allow us to put into action that which our brain and our heart desire. Our feet allow for mobility to do the actions our brain and heart desire, and our hands allow us to accomplish them. So what hands represent is the ability to extend what we are internally, our brain, our heart, our internal self, and extend that from ourselves outwards towards others. So in transferring blessings from God to our children, we use our hands, symbolizing the blessing being passed from God through us and into our children. This concludes the discussion of blessing our children on Friday night. As always, if you have any questions or things that weren't clear, you can feel free to reach out to me at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. Wishing everybody an amazing week.
Thank you for listening to the Thinking Jew Podcast and for taking the time to study Torah and deepen your connection to Judaism. If you found value in today's episode, please leave us a rating or review and subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic requests for Rabbi Moshe, please email thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com or visit thethinkingjew.com.